Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, for 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 15, 2014. Or it is April 20, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, "Well, This Could Be the Dawning of That Day." Parade began at Calvary, and the saints of all the ages fill its rhyme. For the sons of time, they're marching to their king's great coronation, and this could be the dawning of that day. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day when the face of Yahshua we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting His returning. And this could be the dawning of that day. Nothing here holds their allegiance. They're not bound by shackles, forged of earthly gold. Since that day they knelt at Calvary, they've been pilgrims. Ever wandering, just looking for a place to rest their soul. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day when the face of Yahshua we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting His returning. This could be the dawning of that day. Oh, the saints are getting restless. Oh, what glorious expectations fill his face. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand glorious day when the face of Yahshua we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting His returning, and this could be dawning of that day. Kingdom of Heaven, Part 1, is we're going to start with Matthew Chapter 3. The Bible, or KJV, mentions the Kingdom of Heaven 40 times. It occurs in 40 verses. Start with Matthew Chapter 3, Verse 2, and it says, "And saying, repent ye, for the Kingdom of Heaven is at hand." So it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Now, pay attention here. John the Baptist actually had the same title and role that Elijah the Tishbite had, and that was the title of the Yahweh's name, Eliyahu John. So now, when it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea," in the wilderness of Judea. Now get that. "And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So today we have Elijah is the most important prophet to show up in the last day. And he also comes with the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in John chapter 3, he says that in verse 3, he says, Yeshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Okay. So now, you not only have to repent, but you've got to become born again. Or you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. You have to see the kingdom of heaven in the light of the parables and the prophecies from the living word. Otherwise, you cannot in any way get a glimpse or have a vision of the future of this world unless you see it coming in the volumes of the prophecies and the parables that is written in. Okay, so now, it says in Matthew 4:17, from that time Yahshua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. And then Matthew 5, verse 3, he said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 5:10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and what else does it say? Let's take it from the scriptures. That the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Yahshua said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Okay. So, it says there in Matthew 10:7, and as ye go, a priest saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of the heaven is greater than he. Okay, so now, if you're envious of Yahweh's leadership and you don't like Yahweh's appointed leader, remember that when you join the kingdom of heaven, you're and you're regarded as the least in the kingdom, you're greater than the greatest in the kingdom. In other words, you go to the head of the line in the eyes of heaven. Because someone that's born again is as a little child. It says you've got to become like a little child. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by the force. Okay. So when a prophet is put in charge of the candlestick, of the house of Israel. And that represents the worship place for the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It is your sanctuary. It is your temple. It's where the heavenly sanctuary is put in operation. That's what it was in Noah's day. When the sanctuary came down from Mount Sinai out there in Saudi Arabia in the south, Moses was brought up into the mount. He was brought up into the temple that came down from heaven. That sanctuary came down from heaven and on top of the mount. And he said, Moses is taken up into that mount. And he spent 40 days there and learning the mechanics and all of the operation of the kingdom of heaven, which was being portrayed in that sanctuary. And then Yahweh told us, now when you go down off this mountain, says, see if thou make all things after the pattern that I've shown you and the manner that I've shown you in the mount. That's quite an awesome commission for Moses. He had to spend 40 days learning all about it. And then he had to go and literally duplicate that temple here on earth. Had to literally go ahead and duplicate it. And so what does that tell you? That tell you that Brother Johnson was given the commission to restore all of the feast days and all of the true worship, and restore all the ordinances and so forth that had been destroyed and trampled underfoot by the man of sin, the Catholic Church during the Dark Ages. So Brother Johnson was shown how to restore all that. So all we had to do was meet in a building where Yahweh had provided for us at Kermit, Texas. And he provided us a nice big brick building, and we converted into a sanctuary service, a place of worship, and we had ordinary system of true worship. And yet, it because the people were not born again, because they were not born again, they could not enjoy the transition out of the world, out of Satan's world, out of his kingdom, into the kingdom of Yahweh. And so you have to be taught that. It has to be taught to you by example and precept. You have to have spiritual leaders that are dedicated enough and born again. They definitely have to be born again. And if you've got leaders that are not born again, it don't make any difference how many statutes and laws they restore. And his brother said that Yahweh told him to teach my people my government. I believe he did tell him that. And but teaching Yahweh's government is one thing. But obedience and compliance with all the rules and regulations of the government of heaven, that's another thing. And there's a lot to be said about that. Matthew 13:11, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Matthew 13:24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Matthew 13:31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Okay, now, Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in the three measures of meal. So the whole was leaven. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man is seeking goodly pearls. Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore the it says, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Matthew 18:1. And the same time came the disciples unto Yahshua, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of the heaven? Okay, Matthew 18:3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servant. Matthew 19:14. But Yahshua said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 19:23. Then said Yahshua unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 20:1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Matthew 22:2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And it's so sad to have to report once again. This was the case with the last prophet placed in charge of the candlestick of heaven, of the sanctuary here on earth. And that was the angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea. That's so sad, because that's exactly the part that he ended up playing. It was the part that he hindered those that was trying to come into the kingdom. Because he was given the keys to the kingdom. And he had those keys to the kingdom for 33 years, Willis Johnson. And so people would come into his kingdom. That's where that's all the further they could go. Unless they want to go right back out the door where they came in, and that's where they went. Matthew 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Okay, now it says in 2 Corinthians 2:12, Huram said, or is that 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles, actually chapter 2, verse 12. Huram said, moreover, blessed be the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given unto David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Yahweh and a house for his kingdom. Okay. Daniel 2:37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Elohim of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. So Yahweh can give worldly kings. He can give them a kingdom. And in this case, we were talking about Nebuchadnezzar there in Daniel 2:37. And Yahweh, Daniel said, thou, O king, Nebuchadnezzar, for the Elohim of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory, to operate in that kingdom, just like he did Solomon. He gave Solomon power, strength, and glory to operate the kingdom of David. Now he gives a Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom, which is the kingdom of Babylon. And he gave him power and strength and glory to operate the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay, so what kingdom is this? This is the kingdom that we are raising up, the everlasting kingdom of David. Daniel 4:25. That they shall live, or now, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as the oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. Daniel 4:34. And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like the oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High, Elohim, ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 11:4. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not unto his posterity, nor according unto his dominion, which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others, beside those. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Elohim and the power of his Messiah, Yahshua, his son, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, and which accused them before our Yahshua, or Yahweh, day and night. Okay, now folks, this drama was played out through the Gilead Center right to the very end, to the 11th hour. The accuser of the brethren was the false prophet that ended up, started out as a true prophet with the greatest commission since the dawning of time, to restore and to raise up the tabernacle that had fallen down, and he ended up being the accuser of the brethren, which would be the 144,000. Instead of raising up the 144,000 like he taught that he was supposed to do, He was the one that accused them day and night by his actions and by his mockery and by the way he run his kingdom. The way he run Yahweh's kingdom, which actually ended up being his kingdom and his version of it. And so the accuser of our brethren was cast down at the close of the 11th parabolic hour, and we've had free reign now to set up Yahweh's kingdom. But we had a tag along for a total of 12 years here in the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, and that was Alan DeLong, and he has finally been purged out and taken away by his own volition, I might add. And he fulfilled that in Luke 19. And I had nothing to do with it. This is all the work of the Spirit. All I did was just pronounce the words that the Holy Spirit gave me to pronounce. And the Holy Spirit did the work. I mean, Holy Spirit that has always worked that way with this leader. When you have an antagonist, somebody that is an accuser of the brethren in your midst, but then finally, the Holy Spirit will do His mighty work and getting rid of them. But it says here in Luke 19, and He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. So that's in verse 22, Luke 19. Once again, when the good man of the house had went to a far country to receive a kingdom, and he was called the Son of Man. And there in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." So he came, and he came to the threshold of the house, the Kermit, Texas. He came for one purpose, and that was to seek and to come seeking and to save those that were lost. Who lost where? In the Adventist Church. He's coming seeking, but they had to come to the Valley of Acre. So he came to the door of hope at Gilead Center, the Valley of Acre, and Yahshua came in at Passover 2002 to seek and save those that were lost in the kingdom of heaven. Adventist Church represented the kingdom of heaven up to then. Brother Johnson is in charge of the candlestick. And so he comes seeking, he comes to the Valley of Acre, the door of hope, because Yahshua had the key. He had the key to the purified kingdom. So he come, and he found the door shut. He found that there was no one there to greet him, to invite him to come in, to sup with him. So Yahshua took the keys to the kingdom, and he unlocked the door himself to the kingdom of heaven. And he appointed his servant Elijah David and gave him the keys. And then he said that when he came back to reckon with him, it says there in Luke 19:14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And as Vicky Holler pointed out, he said that this man that they wouldn't have to reign over them is antithetical to David. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, so you see, Yahshua had received the kingdom in heaven. And he returned with the keys to the physical, literal place that was entrusted with the gospel here on earth. And he came back to that church that was entrusted there. And then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So, and then came the first saying, "Master, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities also. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Well, at least he kept it nice and clean and laid up in a napkin, covered up. In other words, it's like laying and putting your lot under a bushel. Basket. He said in verse 21, For I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. Okay, the one that has 10 pounds then is antithetical Elijah. And he's the one that has given the keys to the kingdom. Yahshua brought the keys from heaven with him when he came to Gilead Sin in 2003. He brought them with him. And so he just took and unlocked the door, appointed his new servant over the candlestick, and gave him the keys. Okay, so apparently he had taken them from then, the keys from the slothful servant. When he took that talent away from him, he said, Take that talent, that one that he has, and give it to this one standing by here that's got 10 talents. So when he did that, that's the same thing as saying, Give me the keys. And he gave them to this one that had the 10 talents. Same thing. Okay, now. That's concludes our reading of the Bible scriptures, about 40 of them that has to deal with the kingdom of heaven. And so now let's go back and read Matthew chapter 2. And now when Yahshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east unto Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had learned these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Yahshua should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them unto Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of Elohim in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeareth unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night, and departed into Egypt. and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Yahweh by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according unto the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, a lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Yahweh appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Egypt, or no, into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that the Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of the Elohim in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And the end of chapter 2. Let's go right on into chapter 3. It says, In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of the Judea. Now this is where we start our sermon with John the Baptist. Then let's just look at it in this light here. In those days came John the Baptist in the spirit and power of the Elijah, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now keep in mind that the original Elijah the Tishbite, he came from Gilead, he came from the wilderness of Judea. And he went to Mount Carmel one day to reckon with King Ahab, the king of Israel, and the whole 12 tribes of Israel together, and for their idolatry. Well, this is what John the Baptist is doing again. Yahshua said that he was indeed Elijah, the Elijah of his day. So here comes a second Elijah on the scene, and he's preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, I truly was in the wilderness with brother there in Kermit, Texas, 2002. And the first word out of my mouth to him was, Repent ye. I said, This is a message from heaven. Okay. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Yahweh, make his path straight. So now you want to know why John the Baptist went out into the wilderness of Judea, and he was dwelling in the caves there on the banks of the Jordan. He's dwelling among the rocks. See, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized with him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. So they were confessing their sin. What sins were they committing that they had to confess so readily? They were following the doctrines of the Pharisees that they didn't know what else to do. But when they realized that there was a clear example made between the two doctrines, the doctrines of Satan and the doctrines of Yahshua, then they came forth repenting of that error. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come unto his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of the vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with the fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Yahshua from Galilee unto the Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou unto me? And Yahshua answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So, you know, when we had our baptism this Pentecost down at the Lake Travis, where I baptized Alan baptized his friend Sharon and co-helper, and then Alan baptized me. Okay. Well, actually, for us, that should have been a symbol of fulfilling all righteousness for the kingdom of heaven. That's what that symbol should have represented. Unfortunately, it didn't represent that. That's the sad part. Because it did its mighty work, though. It showed the true spirit of those involved. And that's the way heaven works in different ways, mysterious ways. It's a wonder to me how heaven works in so many different mysterious ways to bring about and effect righteousness. Because that surely exposed the intent of the heart when it didn't turn out that person that requested the baptism actually wasn't born again, and the baptism didn't cause him to be born again. And so it's so sad, because all you got to do is read Romans chapter 6, the whole chapter, 23 verses. It tells you exactly the transition that takes place when a person comes confessing his sins and repenting and then being baptized in the likeness of Yahshua's death and coming forth a new creature in the likeness of his resurrection. You know it. You know it automatically by the Spirit when that happened. That didn't happen there at the Pentecost of 2014 with us at Lake Travis. That did not happen. Okay. John 3, verse 16, And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That ends of chapter 3 of Matthew. Now let's go right on into John chapter 3. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto Yahshua by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Elohim be with him. Yahshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of the heaven, of the Yahweh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay. So now do you understand why you can differentiate between the good kings and the bad king? All you have to do is just read the record. Either he was born again, he did the will of Yahweh, or he was not born again and he served the flesh. And he had no fear. He had no fear to speak evil of dignities. He had no fear to blaspheme Yahweh's holy name and his kingdom or anything that heaven stood for. When a person is not born again, they have no fear. Because they think that they're born again, and they think that, that they understand truth and right, and in this way they do it ignorantly. Though I dare say they do it ignorantly, because they've lost their fear, and they don't know what manner of person they really are in their heart. Okay, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Okay, now. Let's just skip back here to John 1, and let's read verse 12 and 13. It says, let's read verse 12, John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the Yahweh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what we've got to become. We've got to become born again. We've got to be just like Yahshua, full of grace and truth. Okay. So it says, as the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Yahshua Messiah. No man has seen Elohim at any time, for the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Yahshua. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer unto them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Yahshua, as said the prophet Isaiah. Okay, now, so what is Yahshua doing today? What was he doing today out in Kermit 2002? He was sending his voice, his mouthpiece, for him. And he was a voice crying in the wilderness of Judea, the wilderness of Judea. Make straight the path, the way of the Yahweh. And how do you make straight? Restore the sanctuary system, and especially the daily. Just to establish the heartbeat of the sanctuary service is the daily. You don't restore that, you don't have no heart. And if you don't have any heart, you don't have no blood pumping through the body. That's why Kermit had they did a, there was a heart operation took place out there in Kermit. Satan operated on the prophet, and he took his heart out. Okay. And so there was no blood pumping through that sanctuary system out there, because the prophet promptly deleted this the daily. I know two different times he restored it and rescinded it, restored it, rescinded it. And so there was no hope for Gilead. So you cut the heart out of the body, it dies immediately. Alright? So now, let us continue now reading in John chapter 3. It says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Don't marvel at that. I remind us right here at Mount Zion, the 12th hour, at the kingdom of heaven, right here, that you have to die daily. So now I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to read that to you on closing our service for today. We're going to start with verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What did Paul preach unto them? He delivered to them, he revealed unto them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that is through the New and Living Way, Hebrews 10:20. And it was, he introduced them the law of the Spirit of life in Yahshua, there in Romans 8:2. And so let's go ahead. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Yahshua died for our sins, according unto the Scriptures. And how would the Scriptures say in Isaiah 53? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Okay, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according unto the Scriptures. And that he was seen of the Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now I want to ask you a question. Yahshua resurrected a lot of people that was in their graves up to that time, that had died in the Old Testament time. And did you know he took those people to heaven? Why? Because he died for them. Well, he died for Paul too, but Paul was a sinner at the time that Yahshua died on the cross. So he couldn't take Paul. He couldn't take Paul with him at the resurrection, but he could take those that were already in their graves that had a clear record, that had followed the sanctuary system of Moses and the blood system of the animal. He could take those that had faithfully followed that system, which was nothing but a symbol. The blood system of the animal was just nothing. It served the same purpose as Yahshua's blood. It took away their sins. So when Yahshua died on the cross, he resurrected them and he took them to heaven with him, because he died for them. But isn't it strange that he didn't take anybody that was living at that time with him to heaven? Isn't that strange? He only died. He only took those that he resurrected. Like I said, he couldn't take Paul because Paul was still a sinner. And Paul didn't stop practicing sin until 3.5 years later after Yahshua resurrected. So there's no way he could take Paul to heaven with him. 1 Corinthians 15:7. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of the Yahweh. And if anybody wanted to go to heaven, it was the disciples. Yahshua had raised them up and appointed them as the new ministers of the New Testament and placed them in charge of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, the kingdom of grace. And there's no way he could take them to heaven with him, even though he died for them. Yahshua died for them. But they didn't go to heaven with him. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of Elohim I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of Elohim which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Yahshua be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Yahshua not risen? And if Yahshua be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of the Elohim, because we have testified of the Elohim, that he raised up Yahshua, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Yahshua raised. And if Yahshua be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Yahshua are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Yahshua, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Yahshua risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Yahshua shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Yahshua the first fruits, afterward they that are Yahshua at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of the Elohim, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. So now how long are we going to reign here ahead of the everlasting kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of David? We're going to reign until Yahshua comes and puts all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Okay. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. Okay, so he's expected to be to return and to see him in person. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, and that Yahweh the Father may be all in all. Okay. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, I die daily. If I, after the manner of men, I have fought with the beast of Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. So if you love sin and you're in rebellion, then you're not going to wake unto righteousness. That's the reason why Yahshua gives them space to repent. He gives them room. Over and over and over again, the Bible says, how many times you have to forgive your brother? Seven times? No, I say 70 times seven. But we certainly did that here at the Mount Zion at the 12th hour here in Liberty Hill, Texas. We forgave our brother Alan for 33 years that he mocked. He really actually mocked the Sabbath for 33 years. I don't remember Alan ever coming into the Sabbath day at the appointed time with the spirit that the Sabbath calls for us to be come into. I have never known him in 33 years to prepare himself to come into a holy day for what it was intended for. Now, that's a sad commentary, folks. That's how long we forgave that man. We tolerated him for 33 years, and we forgave thousands of times. For some have not the knowledge of Elohim. I speak this unto your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body, that shall be but bare grain. It may a chance of wheat or of some other grain, but Elohim giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and unto every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another kind of flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in the incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after is that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Yeshua from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And that's right here in this life, here in this here probationary time that we're in. We're going to have to become born again, and our bodies are going to be restored according to Malachi 4. And we're going to rise with healing in our wings. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. See, those that are born of the flesh is flesh, it said, I read to you earlier. Those that are born of the spirit are spirit. Now that does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. When is this? Right here in this 12th parabolic hour in the probationary time, the last hour of probationary time. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto Yahweh, which giveth us the victory through our Savior, Yahshua, Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Yahshua, for as much as you know that your labor is not in the vain in the Yahshua. This brings the close of our study. This hour contact us, the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. Close this message now with a song. Down at the cross. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. That in my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Yahshua so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. That in my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. Dear Yahshua, saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. That in the heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Bless your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name.